Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you heard the little cow there. So on the show, we like to say that there are no sacred cows. Here's a sacred cow for you. The porn epidemic inside the body of Christ. That's a sacred cow. Nobody likes to talk about that. Nobody likes to admit it. Yet it exists. And it's not just out there in the pews with all us plebeians, all us lowly people. It's also up there in the pulpit as well. The pulpit is not immune from the trappings of pornography. And then the culture at large, obviously, has a massive porn issue, and a lot of people think they can control it. Porn is almost always in control. And then it's just something that I think we don't talk often enough about it. All the studies I've looked at, about 60% of men within the church struggling with porn addiction. And can you qualify one level of porn addiction over another? You probably can. But it's all dangerous. It's wreaking havoc. It's having not only emotional impact, but it's having physiological impacts, having marital impacts, having spiritual impact. The impact is far and wide and deep and scary. And we just don't, you want to have what's the second least attended meeting of the week at church? Well, that would be the prayer service on Wednesday night. Oh, come to the prayer service, and you get all the older people that actually do love the Lord and pray a lot. They show up. The most least attended would be, hey, we're going to start a new group to talk about sexual addiction and pornography. It's room 202. We meet Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. And nobody's going to show up because nobody wants to talk about it. Shame rules the wasteland there in the world of porn. I've been down that road myself in the past, and it's a huge issue. So today on Theology Thursday, we're going to go right down the gullet, as it were, and talk about this. A book by my friend Scott Hildreth called Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. And there's another Scott Hildreth in this story, but we'll get to that in a second. Scott, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. What a joy to be here. Appreciate you having me.
You're very welcome. This is such an important topic, and I don't think we can actually talk about this one too much or overdo it. But what led a seminary professor, a missiologist, a missionary, a Christian leader to write a rather frank book? Actually, when I was reading parts of it, I'm like going, well, this is it's one of my friends, and he's a seminary professor, a seminary dude, a very conservative seminary here at Southeastern, but very frankly written, just kind of doesn't really pull the veil over it. You go right at it and talk about it, and you use some phraseology and some honest ways of writing that I appreciated because the issue is raw, so I think we need to come at it and deal with it logically and without the blinders on. But how'd you end up down this road to write this book?
It's a crazy story. It's not something I came into by choice, really. At the beginning of the year, I published a book that was a pretty innocuous book, unless you're a Southern Baptist, and it dealt with the Southern Baptist Convention and how the Southern Baptist Convention works. And when we published the book and it ended up on Amazon, we kind of stumbled into the fact that there was a guy who writes on Amazon who shares the same name. So he has my name. And when we first loaded the book on, you go to Amazon, you've got this little section, author is highlighted, you clicked on there, and this guy came up, Scott Hildreth, and he writes erotic literature, pornographic literature. Which was astounding. I had had some hints about it in the past. I'd gotten roped into a couple of Twitter conversations, and I thought, well, you're not talking about me, but I thought it was a joke or something.
Yeah, you
like
would
that.
Think.
And so when it came on, and then I discovered that my students started searching for my book, friends, church members start looking for the book, and they start saying, hey, who's this other person? Or make jokes, hey, what do you, you see what you're writing on the spare.
Golly.
And so for a little while it was distressing. I thought, man, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
If you want to write material for Christians and they search for your name, then they find pornographic material.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing. So after several weeks of just talking with some friends and talking with publishers and trying to figure out what do I do, there were conversations, use initials, use a pseudonym. And at the end of the day, Steve, as we've talked before, I'm nothing but a missionary. I'm at the other side, and it's how do you communicate the gospel to people who need it. And it just dawned on me, and this was in conversation with a couple of friends, that if people find the other books when they search my name, then they'll find my book when they search his name. And so I just started on a journey of writing about the experiences that I had seen and dealt with through my time with students in the church and ministry as people struggle with pornography. And I thought, I'm just going to write about the battle for pornography and how to escape pornography, the damage that pornography does, and then hopefully do this in a way that communicates, as you, and you said, frankly, clearly, with those that are not believers,
yeah,
but are looking for perhaps a little bit of help to get them out of this battle with porn. And so that's really the audience, right? The audience aren't those necessarily that are sitting in the pews of the church. I think there's a lot of help for anybody who will read it. But understanding that when you read the thing, the goal really is, how do I communicate the dangers of pornography, and then the hope that can be found in the gospel,
yeah,
with those who are struggling with some type of porn addiction.
And being in pastoral ministry and around all of that, and starting to read the book, I mean, the book opens with a story about a gentleman that you got to know. And,
right.
And how prevalent is it from,
right,
your perspective?
It's all over the place. I mean, if you talk to our dean of students, and if you talk with others who are involved, even on our campus, a Christian campus, you know, our young men and even young women are just struggling with pornography, using porn, trying to get free from porn. And it just, I think it's just an overwhelming situation. And I think what ends up happening is people don't appreciate the danger that you get into when you start down this road. I opened the book just to using the analogy of a mixed martial arts fight,
yeah,
where you step into the cage against a fighter and you're outmatched, but you don't know it until you're almost beat up. You're laying on the ground. And I think that's the way a lot of people end up, basically beat down from pornography and can't figure out how to get out of it. And so really the goal, I even make the statement in the book, this book is my attempt to get into the cage, help you off the mat, and help you fight another day.
Yeah, because the effects of it are far-reaching.
Absolutely.
And you go into that in the book, but speak to some of that. What are some of the ramifications? What happens in somebody's life that's struggling with porn addiction?
Yeah, I think it hits you in several different areas. When I talk in the book, I talk about the fact that pornography is damaging to our relationships with other people. On the one hand, it really damages the way we view other people. I have a little saying here that if you're looking at porn, then every person that you meet becomes an actor in the pornographic screen in your mind. Hey, where do they fit here? And so it really corrupts the way that you think. You objectify other people. And the other is it affects your relationship with those that care about you. You know, the people that love you and care, yeah, about you, your spouse, significant others, your girlfriend, boyfriend, just kind of damages and destroys that. Then there's some real physical dilemmas that take place, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that because its pull is on multiple different levels. And, yeah, you start setting up false expectations. That's what, right, happens a lot in marriages, is you go into the porn world and you think, and that's reality. That's the way it should work. Listen, I had a friend and a guy that was on the show last year that was a porn star for 7 years. It's all a big lie.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. By the way, that song, that was Matt Papa, who's one of my favorite writers and artists and worship performers. He'll be doing our fifth annual Called to Worship event that's coming up on Thursday, October 4th, here in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you go to the homepage, thestevenobleshow.com, if you're here in North Carolina, if you're in the Raleigh area, if you're more local, this is an incredible night. Matt always comes in and his band does the worship throughout the night. It's really, God always shows up and it just blows everybody away. The one comment I've heard every year for the last 4 years is that they've never experienced anything like it, because you're kind of combining worship, and then we have a pastor who was raised by gay parents. He wrote the book called Messy Grace, which is, wow, an awesome book. Caleb Kaltenbach, he's going to share that story. And then I'll do an onstage interview with a lady who used to be the manager of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and we'll talk to her. So there's all kinds of things that God unpacks there when we do Call to Worship. So that's Thursday, October 4th. Matt Papa, who you just heard, was doing the music. Just go to the homepage, thestevenobleshow.com. Tickets are free, but they are moving right along, and we do that at RFA Church here in town this year. Awesome facility, very new. It's just an incredible night, and I really hope you'll be there. It's always a blessing to me personally. It's important for supporting the radio ministry, and so that's coming up. TheSteveNobleShow.com, talking today to my buddy Scott Hildreth about this book that he wrote. Some strange circumstances behind it, but God is always moving. Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. We're going to dive back into some of the the specifics of it, but I also want to give away several copies of this. It's an easy book to read. I sat down, I read it in one sitting. It probably took me an hour and a half to read the whole thing. Really powerful, really kind of gritty right down there on the level. It's not hiding anything, and very applicable, very practical. Some great steps there that if you're struggling with pornography, and by the way, this isn't just a man's issue. Women's use of pornography is growing rapidly. But it is an issue that's all over the place. So we want to give copies of the book away today. So if you call in at any point during the show, I just need your name and your email address, and then we'll get you a copy of the book. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. And I said originally I would give six away. I'll give away as many as people call. I'm happy to buy those from you, and because this is such a big deal.
Sure.
I don't want to turn anybody away. So anybody that calls in during the course of the show, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, no matter what station you're listening to, we'll get you a copy of the book. Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. Tell us about Jack.
Jack, yeah. So I opened the book with a story about a friend of mine named Jack. And Jack is a guy that I met many, many years ago, and actually came into the discussion with him when he'd been involved with a stripper, and his wife found out, and she was angry, and they were going back and forth. And he basically called and said, "Hey, my wife has lost her mind. Can you help me talk her into
sanity?"
Because
it was like at a party or something, right?
It was a bachelor party. He says, "Can you help my wife? She's lost her mind." And basically, I was like, "You know, your wife hadn't lost her mind. She's right to be offended that you're involved with a stripper." But through the conversation, it just became apparent that his worldview had so shifted because of his involvement in pornography that suddenly what was not normal became normal, and it just was everything out of control. The longer we talked, I realized that porn had cost Jack several jobs. I mean, he'd been caught looking at pornography at the workplace, and
wow,
he'd lost a job, lost another job when he was in a conversation with some coworkers about porn. He thought everybody was doing it, so he started talking to the girls in the office about stuff, and they went to the HR department. Of course, he lost his job there. I highlight that he lost his own self-respect. Nobody loses jobs and battles an addiction and thinks highly of themselves.
Yeah.
He lost the respect of his wife. The trust of his wife when she found out he couldn't overcome this addiction. She wouldn't leave her kids at home with him anymore.
Wow.
And so eventually just lost his whole family. The longer that we worked with him, it was over and over, and just said, "Jack, I mean, you got to quit this." But it was like he couldn't do it. Each week it was, "Hey, I stumbled. I finally said, you got to quit this, man." And so it just was a really difficult conversation. That's probably the most extreme counseling is the wrong word, but just relationship trying to work through that I've ever been part of. There have been others. You know, I work with students all the time, and I'm at different levels of discussion with young men and women who just are battling through this, through church, through classroom. And so Jack's just an example of a person who steps into a fight, doesn't appreciate the power of his opponent.
Yeah, doesn't realize.
And before long, you're laying on the ground, you can't get up, and this addictive aspect of porn that just, it's amazing. You know, I'm no expert on this thing. I joke with people, I have a doctorate, but it's not the kind that helps people, right? You know, it's just but the more I read about just the physiology, the kind of the psychology that goes behind an addiction, it's actually very terrifying that your mind can so play tricks on your body that you think that you're actually engaged in the physical activity. Then all of a sudden your body won't respond to normal stimulus.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly, hey, if there's no pornography available, my wife, my husband, no longer is attractive to me. I have to have something more extreme, more violent, something. And before long, it just, as I talk about in the book, it just damages your body, it damages your mind, it damages your self-esteem. Yeah. And people will always say, "Yeah, but that's not me."
Right, that's the common thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that bad for me. Yeah. It's every once in a while. I know it's wrong,
right,
but I don't have a major problem with
it. You know, back in the 80s when Focus on the Family did this deal on pornography and they'd interviewed Ted Bundy, and but I'm not a serial killer. You know, but is it worth the risk? I mean, is it really worth the gamble that at some point your mind, your body, your self-esteem, that everything is going to be corrupted by this game that you think you're playing?
Well, you were talking about some things earlier, and this is one of the chapters in the book. And by the way, I'll give away as many copies of this as people call in. Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap A Trap of Pornography by Scott Hildreth, who's my guest in here today on Theology Thursday. Porn makes us think that others exist only for our pleasure.
Right.
So we just start looking at other people as pawns.
Really, right.
They're objects. Number two, porn trains us to think of others as objects rather than persons.
Right.
Number three, porn is an insult to our partners and contributes to their insecurity in the relationship, because who can measure up to that?
Right.
Because it's not real anyway. But you go on in the next chapter, porn shapes your mind and your body. And I think that's what you were talking about, the dopamine, all the other stuff.
Right.
I think it's far more dangerous and far more pervasive, and it dives deeper into our whole lives than most people think.
Yeah. You know, there's this debate that I sort of stumbled into as I was doing the book. Is there such a thing as an addiction to pornography, a sex addiction? And there are those who battle, you know, there's a kind of a chemical addiction if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict.
Yeah.
And there are those that are afraid to equate behavioral addictions in that same category. But there is something that takes place. It's the reason that you can get someone free from alcohol or drugs, and they go right back into it when the chemical issue isn't there. There's this draw, this dopamine, this kind of feel-good hormone that takes place. It takes place if you eat chocolate, if you're you know, enjoying something, and all of a sudden your brain says, hey, this is fun, let's go do this again. And when you're looking at pornography, reading pornography, the same thing happens in your brain. And it keeps driving a person back, so that when you're not looking at porn, you're thinking about it. And this creates such a shift in your mindset that it just affects everything about you.
And this is really interesting. In another part of the book, we're talking to Scott Hildreth, Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And I'd be happy to send you a copy of the book. Talking about time, the use of time.
Right.
And you had in here, there was a recent survey of 29,000 people in different American universities discovered that 51% of men and 16% of women spend up to 5 hours per week online for sexual purposes.
Right.
So just the use of time.
Right.
And that's that, hey, you know, the next thing you know, 2 hours has gone by.
Right.
And that's 2 hours that you could be spending other things.
Doing anything else,
but
except hurting yourself.
Yeah, it's just amazing. We'll continue to talk about that, and especially turn the corner to talk about ways out. This is Steve Noble. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, the largest seminary on the East Coast, one of the preeminent seminaries on the face of the planet. And really, by the way, whether you live in North Carolina or not is kind of irrelevant in terms of accessing what God has available for you here at the seminary. Even whether you live in America, it doesn't matter at all. You can go online, and there's all kinds of great opportunities for you online at the seminary. Whether you're Southern Baptist doesn't matter either. But you can go there. So go to sebts.edu. That's the website. Just stands for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I know that's a mouthful. But sebts.edu/radio. And you're going to land on a page that has all the online opportunities here at Southeastern, all there on one page, really easy for you. So please make sure you take advantage of that. It's an incredible opportunity. It's had a major, huge impact on my life. Every class I've taken, every hour I've spent in classes at Southeastern has taken my faith to a whole nother level, so I cannot recommend it enough. And it's partly because of some people like my guest today, Scott Hildreth, who's out here on staff at Southeastern. And it was interesting how he kind of fell into writing this book, Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. If you spend any time talking to men and any time in pastoral ministry, you're gonna run into it. This is a very common problem. Unfortunately, most people don't talk about it. Interestingly enough, I'll use this story. Several years ago at a men's gathering I go to every year, I felt led, Scott, to come up with kind of a 10-question sexual survey.
Right.
And I worded it in such a way that the only thing these guys, they're all born-again Christians,
right,
the only answers they would give was either a check mark or circling a number on a scale. Because I said, I don't want any of you to worry about somebody being able to figure out your handwriting.
Right.
So it's totally anonymous.
Right.
And what we found, and I asked all these are very frank questions, whether it was masturbation, pornography, whatever. One of the questions I asked was, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you want to talk about this versus your shame and guilt that keeps you from talking about it? These are godly guys,
right,
deacons, leaders. The average score was 8.
Wow.
8. So you got all these guys, these godly guys.
Right.
screaming, I want to talk about this. Yep. Yet nobody does. Yep. And once the levee broke, that was the most powerful move of the Holy Spirit I've ever seen in a group of people who were, decided to be honest. And it was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, your sexuality is just who you are. And when you battle in that area and you're losing in that area,
yep.
the shame, the guilt, the frustration, you watch the effects trickle out. If you're struggling with sexual sin, you're hidden. You're always acting like a criminal around people. I hope nobody finds me out.
Right.
And so it just hits you in every place, every angle. And then there's this level of addiction that just eats at you. You can't quit. It starts making you do stupid things. And so eventually you're just out of control. And you're saying, would somebody help me? But I'm embarrassed to ask
for help. Yeah, but you don't open your mouth.
That's right.
Yeah. And so one of the best steps you can take if you're struggling with this, you know somebody is. It's a loved one. It's you, whoever it is. Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. I'm going to give away as many books as you call and each caller. So one per caller, but I'll give as many as we have callers. So just ring in today, and if you're watching on Facebook Live, you need to do it that way too, just to help me out and keep track here. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH to get a copy of Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography by my guest today, Scott Hildreth. This was in a section of the book, and then we're going to move into what are some things that you can do to move forward and start finding some victory here. It seems that regular engagement with graphic material changes the makeup of our brains. Mm. The desire for sex becomes a force that is difficult to control. The reason seems to be found in the fact that excessive use of pornography can lead to abnormality in the superior frontal region of the brain. So we're talking physiological stuff here.
Right.
This is the area associated with compulsion and self-control. Neuroscientists call this change hyperfrontality. It creates what Hilton and Watts have described as a defect in the braking system of the brain. Addicts struggle to make well-reasoned or strategic decisions. Instead, they act compulsively, aggressively, or with no thought of the consequences. A man or woman becomes enslaved to their desires. This is unbelievably serious business.
Absolutely. It's frightening. I really didn't appreciate when I started to research this, again, we got into it because I was trying to offer a different solution to some people struggling with pornography. And on the one hand, it's like, hey, you know, it hurts your spiritual life or something. But when I got into this section, it was frightening to me to realize that using pornography and all the data says excessive use, but nobody defines excessive. Is it, you know, once a day, once? Yeah. I don't know what that means,
but it's
scary to think that your brain actually changes, that there's something that happens inside your head that changes the way the neuro pathways in your brain function. And suddenly you lose restraint. You lose the ability to make wise decisions. You're always thinking about pornography. And everything then shifts. And as anyone knows, man, what your brain tells you to do, you're going to do.
Well, that becomes the center of gravity in your life. That's why, like Jack, you mentioned earlier, actually got caught looking at porn at work in a fairly open area.
Right.
Because you're just so overtaken by it.
Just driven.
You're just not even thinking logically at that point.
That's
like, if you're going to be a snake, be a smart snake. But if you can't even think and control yourself, forget it. So let's move into the positive side of this. You talked about at one point, here's a list of people that you need. If you're going to start really getting serious about this, is the point here, because you said a professional, a group, a friend, can somebody do this on their own? Or do they absolutely have to have somebody else involved?
Look, when you are addicted, when you are beaten down, you need some help. I think a person probably could gut it out, but it's going to be very difficult, and I think you're probably setting yourself up for failure. I really think that getting someone in your life or a group of people in your life is the thing that's going to guarantee you success in this battle. The truth of it is, most people I know who battle with pornography by themselves have already tried to quit and haven't been able to quit.
Right, right.
And so it's going to take someone getting a group. It may be a professional. It may be somebody who is experienced with counseling, experienced in this field to help you work through it. But it might just be a friend, somebody who you can call at midnight and say, hey, man, look, I'm dying from – or it may be somebody that when you just give the joke, well, I stumbled last week, looks you in the eye and says, if you ever do that again, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, really serious on-the-level conversations, not kind of passing around and playing around with it.
Yeah, you know, when I was writing this book, I had a guy who wrote me a message, and he said, hey, I just need to let you know I stumbled last week. And he was giving this light. And I wrote him back and I said, don't you ever do that again. If you do, I will come find you and we will end this conversation.
Wow.
And he wrote back and said, whoa, I was just kidding. And I wrote back and said, well, I wasn't.
Yeah.
Because you at some point you need somebody
else. Oh, it's a war.
To help it take it seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have a warrior-like mentality.
Yeah.
One of the things you said as we go into kind of the positive steps and steps to freedom, this was, I thought, super important. For most, there are times when porn holds a stronger pull than others.
Right.
It's important to identify these times of weakness so that you can be prepared. You were talking about mixed martial arts fighters and everything. You better be prepared before you walk into that ring.
Right.
Most people are vulnerable to temptation during four critical seasons in their lives. And there's an acronym here, the word HALT, H-A-L-T.
Yep.
When they're hurting, when they're angry, when they're lonely, and when they're tired. And these are just practical steps that, that you take to realize, okay, when do I go down this road?
Right.
And to acknowledge those, to identify them. And then you got to start acting on that.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, most of us know when we're most vulnerable to certain temptations. Most of us know what our pet sins are, and we know when we're vulnerable to those pet sins. And I picked up somewhere this acronym, and just that HALT, H-A-L-T. I am more vulnerable to my temptations when I'm hurting.
Yeah.
If my wife hurts my feelings, or if I'm hurt physically, I'm more vulnerable to give in to temptation. When I'm mad at somebody, you know, you get angry at work, you get angry at home, you get angry at the T-ball field. I need somewhere to go for release or relief. When I'm lonely, you know, I'm out of town or something. Everybody know traveling salesman or whatever. You know the statistics, and we know the jokes that people make. When they're tired, you know, I don't have the wherewithal to fight or to battle temptation. And these are just four areas that most men and probably most women are most vulnerable. And when you're there and you know it, just be on your guard.
Yeah.
Call a friend. Don't be alone. Don't turn your computer on. Leave your cell phone turned
Flee.
Off. The very thing that's going to cause you to drive in, just don't play that game anymore.
Yeah, I heard somebody, I remember who said this. This was a sermon I heard once. Nothing good happens at home when your whole family's gone to bed and you're still awake.
That's exactly right.
To husbands. It's midnight, you're watching TV or whatever. And of course, that can be an over-exaggeration. But largely, that's true.
Go to bed.
Go to bed. You need a good night's sleep anyway. You went on to the next part of the book. Set a clear goal.
Right.
I thought this was really good. Another acronym, kind of dealing with, okay, all right, what do I do here?
Right.
So I realize I have a problem. I've got some friends in my life or a counselor, somebody that's going to help me with accountability. But these are really kind of start with C, concrete. How do we move forward? Or what are some things that I actually do? Let's go through that.
Yeah, so I talk about a series of steps that we need to take in order to break free from pornography. One is we admit we have a problem. I just need to say it. Look, I have a problem with pornography.
Yeah, you actually said go outside in the woods or go in a mirror, go somewhere.
And say
it. And sit there and say, I have a porn addiction.
That's exactly right. Don't just say it in your brain. Say it out loud. Make yourself hear you say it. You know, remind yourself of the negative effect. Then I talk about setting a goal. And I have this word clear. Set a clear goal. By that, I mean C, concrete. I need a very concrete goal. Here I say, let's set a specific number of days I am going to be porn free. A length of time, 2 weeks, 1 day, 48 hours, encouraging, something that lifts you up. I can do this.
Yeah.
A, achievable, something I really am not going to get discouraged. But then R, something that's risky. I need something that's going to push me further and further each day, a clear goal.
And I think that small, achievable steps is much more doable than saying, all right, tomorrow I'm done forever.
That's right.
Because the reality is it's not that easy. We're talking to Scott Hildreth about porn. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today talking about a very serious subject, pornography addiction. The name of the book is Bondage and Freedom here today on Theology Thursday. Escaping the Trap of Pornography by my buddy Scott Hildreth, who's one of the professors on staff out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And just a very practical book. This is not a book that's written exclusively for Christians. It doesn't have that kind of language. He doesn't even mention the gospel or reference scripture until later in the book. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But there's a really important chapter here towards the end called The Ongoing Battle, which I think is super important because most people, and when I've been down these roads in the past, it usually don't win the first time you go to battle.
Right.
It takes some time. And for a lot of guys that I know, it took time, whether it's porn or some other sexual issue.
Right.
But I think this is really important because I think we need to hear this encouragement. Then I'll ask you about the gospel, okay. And then we'll finish up. But this is what Scott writes in the book. And by the way, we're still happy to give away some. So if you call in before the show is over, I'll make sure you get a copy of Bondage and Freedom by Scott Hildreth. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. You can win this battle. It won't be easy. I can't tell you that you won't fall again. There's no magic wand or potion that will make all of your urges disappear or your temptations go away. For some, you will follow these steps and never struggle again. But most will experience an ongoing fight against porn. In time, the temptations become less frequent and not as intense. But don't be shocked when, even after several months, desires creep back in and the battle is on. I heard Dr. David Jeremiah say once that lust isn't something that you manage. You have to starve it to death.
That's right.
And that takes time.
Yeah.
I think it is a great point. I've always remembered that. But you have a couple of kind of encouraging and parting words of advice in this section, the real practical section of the book. So let's go through those.
Sure. Yeah. Three things I say. First of all, don't ever lie to yourself and say one time won't hurt. You know, you battle this porn thing, you overcome, you get several weeks or months of freedom. Temptation comes, I'm just going to do this thing one time. That's never true. It's never been true. It's not going to be true. So don't believe that lie. Don't tell yourself that lie. The second thing, beware of your weakness and your weak times. Like we said in the last break, you know where and when you're most tempted. When that happens, the devil's not going to let you go.
No.
He's going to come right back in and say, hey, let's one time. So be aware of that moment. And then finally, remember that the pornographers are not your friends. They have designed a multi-billion dollar industry that's designed on hooking you, dragging you in, and keeping you there. I quote The Godfather here, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. And this is the way porn works. It's like a gambling casino. The house always wins.
And so remember that. I mean, for men, I think especially it's helpful for me to remember this, that when you're indulging in porn, when you're addicted, you're a sucker.
That's right.
You've been sucked in, and they're selling your addiction. They're making money on your addiction. They're exploiting people. There's a sex trafficking going on.
Right.
Some porn that you've watched, and you talk about this in the book, may have been people that were forced into it that are sex slaves.
Right.
And you're a part of that racket, and you're a sucker. They've suckered you in, and they're using physiological stuff. Of course, there's the spiritual dimension and the forces of darkness that's all happening all at the same time. But really, to them, we're just a bunch of suckers.
Right.
And I think for guys, that's not very easy to hear.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, you are, for them, just a money tool.
Yeah.
And making multi-billion dollars on human weakness and the weakness of man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, where's the gospel in all of this? Because I really loved how you brought the gospel into this. Good news for a broken world, and with some disclaimers too.
Right.
Because again, going back to, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, there's a guy out there, an author, a porn author named Scott Hildreth. So people would stumble upon that, and then of course there's Scott Hildreth here, who's the godly one. And then, so let's go ahead and dive into this subject, which has happened. So this isn't necessarily a book that, hey, it's all Christianese. It isn't at all.
No.
But you do get to the gospel.
Absolutely, because the gospel is the ultimate freedom. I make this statement in here that the goal in your life is not just to be porn-free. I say a fish is porn-free. But you're a human being, right? And God has created human beings for relationship with himself. One of the ways that we tend to present the gospel in the West is based on guilt and innocence. And so we have a debt that we couldn't pay. Jesus died to pay the price for our sin debt, and he forgives us for our sin. But there's another image of the gospel that I think is important, especially for those that are struggling with pornography. And it's the way I describe it in this book. And that is, most people who struggle with pornography are struggling with shame.
Yeah.
And the gospel addresses not just the guilt of our sin, but also the shame that comes. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the first emotion that happened after sin was shame.
Got to cover ourselves.
Adam and Eve covered themselves, but what did they cover themselves with? Leaves. How long does a leaf last once you pick it? Like no time at all.
Yeah.
So the covering that we try to embrace and wrap our shame, to get rid of our shame, just is fading. But the beauty of the story of Genesis is that in that moment, God covered their shame with the skins of a sacrificed animal. So in other words, God looks at our life. He looks at the person who's struggling with pornography, the shame, the tears that you cry, the embarrassment that you feel when you look at yourself in the mirror after you've looked at porn, whatever has happened in that moment and you feel embarrassed and ashamed, you think, I can't talk to God. The truth is that the oldest, most original demonstration of God's love is that he's willing to cover your shame, to embrace that, to cover it up. It's like the boy who comes home from the pig pen, the prodigal son, and the father embraces him and says, your robe is dirty. I'm going to give you a new robe, a brand new clean one. Because in Jesus, we're a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Amen. Not just the guilt, but the shame, the embarrassment, the filth. And thankfully, even science tells, the longer we stay away from porn, our mind begins to rebuild.
Yeah, you heal.
God is gracious, right?
Amen.
And so there is hope in the gospel for anyone, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're involved in, the embarrassment you feel from porn, the shame that you feel because you're watching, reading, involved in pornography, there's hope. Yeah. And that's the point of the end of the book. I'm just trying to say, look, do you have to have Jesus to be freed from porn? I don't know. But I do know that in Jesus, you're not only freed from porn, but everything else that's killing you.
Yeah, what a great point. Scott Hildreth, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Steve.
I really appreciate it. Bondage and Freedom, Escaping the Trap of Pornography. This is a book that if it's you or somebody you know or you suspect it's somebody you know, please take advantage of this. I'll give you another 5 minutes to call in, and we're sending out as many books as people call in for. So 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884. You got about 4 minutes left, or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, Scott, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
That. Okay, let me get my how about this? I'm gonna do a farewell send-off with my awesome intern and production assistant on the heels of talking about porn addiction. Sorry about that, bro. I really didn't plan your last day that
it happens.
We would be going down this road. One other thought on that, when Scott was talking about the gospel. If you're a Christian already and you struggle with porn, think about this. When God saved you, when he extended the gospel to you, he knew when he did it that you were going to be like this later. And he still loved you. He still extended the gospel to you. He was still willing to save you, knowing that on down the road, you would be, say it out loud, a porn addict. And he still did it. That's the depths of the love of God. And please do not forget that. Okay, so you're off to college tomorrow.
Yes.
University of?
Virginia.
Woohoo!
Go Hoos.
Go Hoos.
Go Hoos.
And what are you studying?
Something political, something sociological, something economic. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Almost sounds like lyrics to a song. Okay, so what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to do a lot of things with my life. I don't have a specific career that I want to go down right now, but something political, social, or economic.
And why do you care about that?
I feel like everyone should care about it because, you know, those are the big issues facing our society. And I want to do something. I want to have some career that falls into one of those. So
now, do you think people would be just surprised to know that you and I disagree on a lot of political issues?
People who know both of us would definitely not be surprised to know that. But I think what's really cool this summer interning has been, you know, the opportunity to have conversations and maybe moderate each other a little bit. You know, you've probably moderated me. I probably haven't moderated you that much.
You have some.
Some, you know, you're a hard man to moderate. But I think it's been cool to have those two different perspectives and see how they kind of merge.
I think it's really healthy.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy for both of us. I mean, and occasionally you're right and I'm wrong. And that happened just the other day.
Occasionally.
And you go to the facts and show me, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I just got schooled by an 18-year-old.
It happens.
But listen, we all have to be willing to have these conversations because we don't. We entrench. You're on that side of the aisle. I'm on this side of the aisle. We throw bumper stickers and sayings at each other.
Exactly.
But we don't engage. Have you seen that in your own generation?
Oh, yeah. I used to be guilty of that, and I've been trying to you know, moderate myself a little bit and have deeper, more nuanced conversations. And I think, you know, this summer has been part of learning that.
So what's been some of the highlights of this? And then I'm going to pump you up here for a second.
Some of the highlights have been seeing all of the weird phrases you use, like throw bumper stickers at each other, no sacred cows. I learned the meaning behind that one. There's another one. There's a lot, actually.
There's a lot.
They're slipping my mind. But
I'm
that's
a mile wide and an inch deep.
And on a more serious note, it's been a blast getting to see how the radio show works, getting to engage with some of you listeners through Facebook Live. Recruiting guests. It's just been a blast getting the opportunity.
And Callen bagged the big fish.
What do you mean?
Ben Shapiro.
Oh,
you bagged
yeah,
the big
I did
fish.
Do that. That's me, guys. I hope you enjoyed that interview because it took 17 emails to get a schedule on.
That was Callen.
But that was
one of those things when, oh, ye of little faith, you have not because you ask not. Because he was like, you know, you should get Ben Shapiro on the show. I'm like, well, go after him. At first you were like, come on. Yeah, I gave you the email.
Yeah, you gave me his personal email, and I was like, okay, I can do this.
But at first, you're like, come on, this we're not going to get
Ben Shapiro. But we got him.
By God's grace, right?
Yep.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about Callen. So Callen is definitely one of the smartest young men I know. He's one of the smartest young men I've ever been around. And has a passion for the culture. He has a passion for the country. He has a passion for his fellow man. And I'd rather take give me a young man that's full of passion and cares about the big issues of the day, even if at 18, I don't agree with everything. He cares. He has a gospel-centered heart. He cares about people. He cares about the Lord. There's no question in my mind, Callan, that you are going to be successful. You've been an absolute delight to work with. You've challenged me. You've helped me grow as a man of God and as a broadcaster. And I just thank God that you spent the last 3 months here.
And I'm thankful for you as well.
Amen. So I love you.
Love you too.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Now get the heck out of here and go to college.
Sounds good.
Go make a dent for the kingdom.
Go Hoos.
Okay, friends, we'll be back tomorrow. This is Steve Noble. And what are we talking about tomorrow? Do you know, Callan?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. That's a dirty little secret. I don't know what I'm talking about tomorrow, but God does, and I'll trust that. It's been great being here. Callan, again, thank you. God bless you. I love you. Scott Hildreth, thank you. And everybody, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.